The last month has seen a number of natural disasters occur across the world. To some degree, we should expect this. They are natural disasters after all. But are things getting worse? For the millions of families affected by Cyclone Pailin in India, typhoons in Japan and China, earthquakes in the Philippines, and bushfires in Australia, the actions taken by their governments and relevant authorities to prepare for such eventualities have had a strong bearing on the way in which the consequences have borne out. With the hurricane season around the corner, it's unlikely extreme weather will fade from the headlines over the coming months. But what about over the longer term? A new ODI report, written in conjunction with the UK Met Office and Risk Management Solutions earlier this month, looks at what we know about the future of extreme weather and asks what it means for the efforts to end extreme poverty. The answer should cause some consternation. Put simply, without addressing the threat posed by disasters, we stand no chance of winning the global war on extreme poverty. I spoke to one of the report's authors, ODI Head of Climate and Environment Tom Mitchell, to find out a bit more about what the world's poorest can expect from the weather over the next two decades. I began by asking him whether he agreed that the response to Cyclone Pailin in India, where a small number of lives were lost, was indeed a success.
Yes, I think if you have to look at the figures from 1999 impact was 10,000 people killed, and that's probably an underestimate. This time you've got less than 40 people killed. So on the face of it, it's a real success in terms of preparedness. You know, the Indian government did a great job in getting people out of the way. But in that regard, there's also been quite a lot of secondary impacts. You've seen quite a lot of flooding, big impacts on roads, on electricity, on schools and things like that. I think in that regard, we've got to be a little bit cautious about the success and think carefully about the way in which disasters are impacting the poorest people and their livelihoods.
So are we making progress?
Well, let's try and just explore a little bit about what that progress is. I think we are seeing progress in terms of the number of lives saved. We're getting people out of the way. That's due to better construction of cyclone shelters, things like that, and better scientific information and a well-drilled kind of response service. So that aspect is improving. What we don't think is improving so much is the ability to protect people's livelihoods and the kind of economic losses that you get with disasters.
The effectiveness of policies to address these issues will likely depend on the extent to which people agree that climate change is affecting the weather. What's Tom's view?
Well, certainly climate change is impacting floods, it's impacting droughts, it's impacting extremes of temperature. And we're likely to see in many parts of the world those kind of hazards become more frequent and more severe. Not everywhere, but in most cases. Now, the other dimension of this is you've simply got more people living in harm's way, and some of those people are still going to be poor in 2030. And so in that regard, there's going to be more disasters. And what we've got to make sure that we do is put disaster risk reduction front and centre in our policy concerns in the next decade.
So what do we know about who is most likely to be at risk in the future?
We built on the IPCC report from 2012, which actually highlighted that some places in the world are going to be just too difficult in terms of places to live and work. And so what we've tried to do with our report is to highlight these areas where you get this kind of perfect storm of high levels of poverty, high disaster risk, and poor ability to deal with the problem. And so therefore we find that there are a set of states in India that we're worried about. There's a group of countries in sub-Saharan Africa. There's other countries in South Asia that we think will have high levels of poverty, high disaster exposure, and won't really be able to cope with the kind of impacts that they'll face.
A large part of the threat outlined in the report is posed by drought. It's a threat that challenges the perception of natural disasters as being about storms, floods, and large quantities of water. What do we know about how to tackle drought?
Drought is certainly a very complex issue. There's one dimension of it is about lack of rainfall. We all experience, we all know about here in the UK or in other countries, and that lack of rainfall as measured by our rain gauges and things like that translates into what we think of as kind of meteorological drought. But there's a very big difference between drought and that actually causing impacts and causing famines or food insecurities. And that's much more to do with the extent to which people are vulnerable. How much food reserves do they have? Can they get access to food? Can they get access to markets? Can they afford food at the market? And all these things are incredibly complicated and actually driven by a variety of other processes. So when we're trying to understand drought and the links between lack of rainfall and these food markets, we need to look at a variety of factors. And in sub-Saharan Africa, where all these things are at play all at once, we need to actually do more research into trying to understand the exact interplay between the variability of the rains and the types of hunger they produce. But we're concerned with the indicators that we've got around increasing severity of drought, an increasing frequency of drought, that this might tip already poor and marginalised people into desperate situations of hunger.
So is there a clear conclusion we can draw?
We've done investigations and we've looked at the kind of money that's being spent on these things. And we find that actually, of every $10, $9 is spent after the disaster struck and only one before it. And actually, much of that effort is poorly targeted anyway at where it really needs it. And so given the fact that we have got tight public resources to spend on these things, we can really show that even just by spending a tiny little bit more, we can really achieve a big impact in terms of protecting the poorest and stopping impoverishment.